It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Everybody, and welcome to the Yankees Center podcast. And it is one of my favorite times of the entire baseball season. We are 2 days away from the trade deadline. It's on July 30th this year instead of the usual July 31st. But man, I'm excited. I'm joined by my good friend Tom Smith to share our excitement. We're also joined by Luke Becker's ghost. I'm just joking, but he couldn't make it this episode. He'll be back next episode. And we know he would have some strong thoughts if he's here. We've been talking a lot about this, so I'm excited to finally get my thoughts into actual words with Mr. Tom over here. So, Tom, how are you today?
I'm all right. Just doing my thing. It's been quite a hectic week, to say the least. Yep. You know, here we are. We're 2 days away. We're, what, 5 games over 500, a game in the loss column back of the Athletics for the second wildcard spot. It's an exciting time. This is the time in which you can really make some hay. Yankees got a win last night, which was nice, and then they immediately made a trade, so that was kind of funny. It was not a big trade, but it was kind of an important one, if that makes sense. It potentially could lead to a big trade. So if we want to get into the two trades that we made this week,
Should we start in chronological order and go with trade Clay number Holmes. One?
Yeah.
Yep. Start with Clay.
We got Clay. Who did we trade for Clay Holmes? No, we traded Hoy Park and Diego. Yeah.
Castillo.
Diego Castillo. So these are two prospects who are going to leave the organization after this year because they're Rule 5 eligible. And they're also, like, minor league free agent eligible as well. So, like, these two guys were gone, and they wanted to get, you know, some bullpen depth. And I think we know kind of why. I think they might have acquired him with the intention of shipping Sessa off and Wilson off as well. They needed a body, I guess. So, a talented one, too.
And, you know, on Twitter, it was a huge controversy about Hoy Park because he's put up great numbers in the minor leagues this season. And I do think he did deserve a chance, but we heard it before. I think he even was called up that the Yankees analytic team was just not very high on him as a player. And as you said, he's going to be a Rule 5 eligible minor league free agent. So it's not a shock. Cashman likes to, you know, bunch these guys together and then see what he can get for them. Clay Holmes is an interesting guy. He's one of those guys where, you know, the results aren't exactly there yet, but the analytics are. And I mean, we kind of have one of those guys in Wandy Peralta, or we did. We traded Talkman for him. Not that Talkman's doing good, but, you know, I can't complain about the trade just due to the fact that, like, how can you be upset with the trade if you're not upset with what you gave up? You know, like, I'm not really upset about these two guys, you know, basically career minor league guys. You know, you can't, like, say, well, what a terrible trade.
I'm not punching my TV or anything. It's like, I understand why they did it. And I'm intrigued by Clay Holmes' abilities because his abilities are quite similar to Zach Britton's. So hopefully there could be some tutelage there on how to throw a sinker for a strike.
Yeah.
Although last night, Zach Britton didn't really know how to throw it for a strike.
Yeah, Britton's been a little rusty.
yeah, that
came back, but
it's a bit of an understatement. But yeah,
incredibly rusty, if that word's it any better. But
yeah, I think he'll be fine. But yeah, at least he rolled that. At least he rolled that double play. That basically was the game.
That was big.
So yeah, and the second trade was we traded Justin Wilson and Luis Sessa for cash, man. There they go. Well, bye bye. Save that luxury tax room.
Justin Wilson, man, it was not fun. It was terrible. This was a terrible season. It was not. I will say this, and I can't like get mad at the move, but we know Cashman traded Ottavino in the offseason and then used that money or spent a little bit less money to bring in Darren O'Day and Justin Wilson. Now, at the time, I don't think anyone was really complaining about it because Wilson had a solid season with the Mets last year. Mm-hmm. And I think O'Day actually had a good season with the Braves as well, too. So it was like, okay, this makes sense. You trade a guy and get two other solid relievers for less, but O'Day wasn't even doing that bad when he was here, but he's done for the year, and Wilson was just a disaster. So I'm happy that Wilson's gone. Sessa is one of those guys where he was at a Justin Wilson level at the beginning of his career, but he turned into someone that, like, you don't pitch him in, like, high leverage situations, but you also trust him in a way. I don't know how to, like, word that, but I think you know what I mean. Like, he's not bad, but he's not, like, a top. You trust him in high leverage situations, reliever, you know?
Yeah. He's like a classic. I'm sorry. I had to take a bite of my burger. I was starving. But he's like a classic middle reliever. Like, he's not the guy that you throw out 7, 8, 9, but like, he comes in like the 5th, 6th inning and it'll give you like an inning, a relatively clean inning.
Yep.
And you take that. It's just. That's what Sessa was, and he became more of a slider-heavy pitcher, which ended up being something that turned his career into, you know, he's gonna stick around in the league a while, I'm telling you. Just because he's got an arm, and he throws a good slider, and, you know, I think he's gonna just do what he's been doing, and that's being a relatively successful relief pitcher in the league, and you know, I kind of wish he was used a little more, especially with the struggles of the pen the last month. But, you know, I'm not necessarily going to lose sleep over it, especially with the potential ramifications of the savings, I guess you can say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right off the bat, you traded two guys out of your bullpen, which, I mean, those spots have to be filled with someone. You would have to imagine that there's some other moves that this is being prepared for with Brian Cashman. I mean, I hope he's doing something else, but
yeah, I hope so.
I think he's got something up his sleeve.
I
hope, because you never know. He might.
You never know. I mean, the last 2 years were kind of hoping, praying,
right?
And then
that's why I'm.
Yeah.
I'm just reluctant to, you know, believe that we're going to get someone, because there's always rumors, you know, hey, the Yankees want this guy, the Yankees are talking to this guy. But Brian Cashman's never the type to overpay. He will never overpay. He always has to think, I won this deal by decent margin, which I don't think is bad, but in some cases, aka the 2019 season, when we had a very good chance at a World Series. We had a large lead, but, you know, there's other great teams in the American League, like the Astros. You want to shore up the rotation. Brian Cashman did not want to do that. And even though the rotation wasn't really the problem in that ALCS, it would have been nice to have another solid pitcher than, you know, what we had. So this year, I mean, this is going to be a whole nother discussion that we won't dive into on this episode, because it would take a long time, but I'm not going to dive into the playoff chances or what I think of the team now. I'm just in the mindset that we're going to be buying and trying to add pieces to this team. So I'm not going to go into all that, but you got to do something if you want to make the playoffs and have a deep run. I mean, it's not even like, oh, you can just add a starter and that's it, or just a bat. Like, if you added anyone, a starter, reliever, or an outfield bat. I don't think anyone would say, wow, you know, do we really need that? Like, we need all those positions. I mean, there's question marks everywhere, basically.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you think about it, I mean, I am pretty confident in saying that Severino is going to come back. He's going to throw his sim game tomorrow, but we don't necessarily know what he's going to be, how stretch out he's going to be, how far they're going to want to push him in his starts when he gets back, stuff like that. So, obviously, it would have been nice. It would be very nice if Hal Steinbrenner is like, you know what, just go get whatever you need. I'll pay it. But it doesn't seem likely, especially after the Sess and Wilson deal. They wouldn't do that. I don't think they would do that if you know, they were planning on going over the tax and getting multiple players. So it's gonna be tricky. I think the main thing they're gonna get is a bat, a lefty bat, preferably. You know, we've heard that they made an offer for Trevor Story, who's right-handed and a shortstop, but you know, he's a very good player. And obviously, it seems like the main target that everyone wants is Joey Gallo, and that would be my top choice for a variety of reasons. So, it's gonna cost something. It's gonna cost a lot to get Gallo. It's gonna cost a decent amount to get Story, and it's about whether or not we're willing to pay it and whether we can fit,
right,
you know, into the budget, I guess, the budget Yankees, the luxury tax champions.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the big question is, are we going over the luxury tax? And
no.
I'm still reluctant
no.
to think that we are. And
no, we're not.
I would say, because if you're going over the luxury tax, like, you know, why are you just going to be cheap in the offseason if you're going to entertain doing this in the trade deadline? You know, I feel like that's like a set.
We're going to go over the season. Tax, like Luis Sessa would still be here.
Right. So. And like moves, like, I know Ottavino wasn't solid last year, but that's a money clearing move to stay under the tax, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really think you necessarily do that.
They cleared $8 million to bring O'Day, Wilson, and Gardner in.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. They wanted to do three players instead of one.
Yeah. And what changes? Like, I mean, I get that the results have not been up to probably what every Yankee fan expected. But, I mean, what is this going to change with Hal Steinbrenner's mindset? Now he wants to go over the tax. He's going to say, Cashman, you know how much money you have. Get it done with whatever you have available. And that's that. So, I mean, there's the money cost and then – there's also the prospect cost, which, I'm not really a big prospect hugger anymore because I desperately want that World Series. But, I mean, there's a couple guys in the system that, you know, I'm starting to like. I mean, first of all, let's throw this out there. Jason Dominguez is not going anywhere.
I don't even
know if there's a guy on the market that maybe Trey Turner I've heard discussed, but the Yankees want to do it. And Trey Turner's a great player, but I do not want to trade Jason.
Unless you're giving me like Juan Soto or something, I'm not even liking.
Oh, well then, yeah. I mean, Juan Soto is a great player. I mean, so is Trey Turner, but
yeah.
I just, Jason's potential. Just, I mean,
yeah.
I know
he's definitely staying under the vast majority of circumstances, unless someone wants to randomly trade a young superstar, unless the Padres want to give us Fernando Tatis, that would be an acceptable proposition, but that's not gonna happen.
Yes.
So yeah, he's staying put, but like, it seems that they're gonna keep Volpe too. It seems like he is their number two. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I think Peraza is the big fish that might
seems like the guy that's like, you know, he's a highly rated prospect, but he seems like the guy that would be, you know, in a Gallo top chip in a Gallo trade. You know, I wouldn't trade him for a rental like Story. Like, if you trade Peraza for Story, then
yeah,
that's
I
just
feel
too much.
I feel like that's just a step too far, to be honest.
But then, I mean, we saw with Starling Marte got. Jesus Luzardo, who hasn't had great major league results, but at one point he was a top 10 prospect, which, I mean,
it's got to count for something,
really.
He's only 23 as well.
Right.
So, and we've seen what the Marlins can do with pitching too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's difficult. The rental market is tricky to gauge because, you know, one rental could get, like, a surprising return like that, and another rental right. can get, you know, two players that don't even, like, make the major leagues. So,
yeah.
Who fucking knows? Who knows, yeah. man? I think Gallo is the guy to, you know, if you're going to put your chips in the basket, I feel like Gallo, you know, is such a clear, such, you know, he's just like the clear guy to mm-hmm. actually trade Peraza for, you know, et cetera. Yeah. I wouldn't even be opposed to trading Volpe, but they are. So, you know, that's fine, I guess, as long as you get it done. I don't really care what you give up, but, well, I care, but, like, I don't necessarily, you know, I just want my championship. We've been waiting a long time, so it's just time to get it done, you know. I mean, I've been, like, kind of just like, I mean, remember back in 2010 when we were supposed to get Cliff Lee, but we wouldn't throw Eduardo Nunez in the deal.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep. Eduardo Nunez is like the Oswald Peraza of 2010, I guess. But, like,
yep.
I understand that, you know, we're having these players that are killing it in AAA, but at some point you can trade a good player at a position you're filled at for a position of need. And so, like, Oswald Peraza could be a great player, but Joey Gallo already is a great player. So, you know, you can just justify that. And the Yankees have more money than God. So if they make a mistake, they can just spend over it like they usually do, because they seem to make a lot of mistakes. And it seems like Max Kepler is, like, the backup outfield option for the Yankees, like, if they don't get Gallo. And Kepler is a good player as well. So, do you have any thoughts on Kepler?
Yeah. Kepler doesn't, I mean, he's solid. He just doesn't really, like, move the needle for me, you know, like, with this team, like, it doesn't be like, oh, you know, I feel like there would have to be a second player added in a different trade. Because if you just add Max Kepler, I don't think it changes much to me in the lineup. I mean, he's got a little bit of power, but he doesn't really get on base at a high. He's got a 300 on base percentage, 13 home runs, which is solid. But, I mean, yeah. If we're talking lefty outfielders.
57 percentile walk rate. So he's like an average on base guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to be an average on base guy, I'm going to need you to hit for a little bit. I'm going to need you to get above average power. And he does have above average hard hit rates and expected slugging and all that. So that he's very intriguing as a player. I think there's another level that he can get unlocked, especially in a smaller ballpark, right. You know, Yankee Stadium versus Target Field. I think Yankee Stadium plays more to what he does. I mean, they got a high wall in right field. And, like, the whole stadium is like right center field, is all high wall. And so if he pulls a ball and he hits it on a line, it's not going to get out. It's more like a double. So, right. But Yankee Stadium, he hits it to right field on a line. It's going in the porch. So, yeah. I think there's something to that. I'd be really interested to look at that metric that tells you how much how many home runs a person would have if he was playing on another team. So, I'm interested.
We saw that number with Trevor Story, and he had 12 home runs right now, and apparently that would be 27 if he was a Yankee, which, I mean, very intriguing.
Yeah,
but
Trevor,
then again,
yeah.
I was just going to say about Story, the only downside with him, I mean, I know we've talked about, it's obviously a huge debate with players from Colorado about their home-road splits, but, I mean, Story away, I mean, the numbers are just, they're really bad. I don't know how you can't be slightly alarmed by that.
I'm really interested to see, because, like, there's something to it. I mean, the ball doesn't break as much at home than it does on the road. And so when you're so used to being at home and seeing a ball break a certain way, and then you go on the road, and it breaks a few inches extra, that can really mess you up. So, like, it's very obvious why, you know, Colorado isn't ideal in some ways. But, you know, I think you take the track record and I think you just put a little bit of faith in it. I think he's earned at least the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he's going to turn this around. The thing that actually concerns me about Story is that he had an injury and his velocity on his throws is down by like 5 miles an hour. So he averaged like 85 miles an hour on his throws, and now it's down to around 80. And so he's basically shot putting the ball to first base, and it's that is the thing that alarms me. It's like, what's going on there? So, like, if we were to acquire him, I would really like a medical exam, please.
Yeah.
Like, can we make sure that this dude can throw a baseball to first base?
You said he got hurt. His arm got hurt.
He had an elbow injury earlier in the year, and it was elbow inflammation. He came back, and like the GM of the Rockies is like, to my knowledge, he's healthy, but I think you may just be saying that because you want to trade him. So I don't know. I think
it could just be something that, you know, lingers and like isn't super bad, but like
you can play with it,
but when you're trying to fire the ball into first base, you're probably not getting your peak velocity on it that he probably got before the injury.
Yeah, he's still an above average rated shortstop right now, but like the numbers are down for him, and I think his injury I think it definitely is playing a part. I think this guy is one of the elite defensive shortstops in baseball, and you know, he just needs to get his body right. So I'm interested to see like what like is going on, and if this can get fixed this year, because as a rental situation, I kind of would want 100% Trevor Story instead of what we've been seeing. So I don't know. It's just interesting, and like his injury would affect like how much I'd be willing to trade for him, because I don't think you want to trade top prospects for an injured Trevor Story who's going to leave in 2 months.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know why I get this feeling. I just don't think Story would bring back. I don't think, like, who are you trading for Story? You're Brian Cashman. You're putting together a package for Trevor Story. Let's hear it.
Wow. Well, disclaimer, I am not Brian Cashman.
Yes. You might be better than Brian Cashman as our GM.
I would like to try, but what I will say is that I wouldn't like throwing Peraza in there, but as a headliner, I wouldn't necessarily care if he did. But like if I were running things, if I was running the show, I think I would center it around like maybe I wouldn't throw like a Luis Gil. Let me pull up the Yankees top 30 right now.
Okay.
I want to look at all these prospects and see, okay, this dude can headline, because you want a headliner and a second piece. Definitely not trading Austin Wells. I mean, maybe they would want Davey, maybe a Yandries Gomez. I wouldn't trade Floreal for him.
Yep.
Definitely not trading Volpe. Not trading Medina, no. Maybe like a guy like shortstop prospect Josh Smith, who's been tearing it up. I think like he could be a leader. And like Josh Breaux, the catcher, is also having a really nice year for himself. So like players like that who aren't the top tier guys, but maybe like second tier guys who wouldn't necessarily make our team, but have the ability to have really nice major league careers for themselves. I think those types of players, you know, the Bros, the Josh Smiths, maybe even like an Albert Abreu who can come up for them and be a bullpen piece for them right away. Right. Although I think Abreu might actually come up and stick with our team, you know, especially after trading Sessa and Wilson, you never know. You look at guys like, I don't think Trevor Hauver would be a guy to trade, but you know, there are players here that aren't necessarily top prospects, but like could, you know, bring back Trevor Story for 2 months as a rental. Right. So like if I'm putting the package together, it'd be led by like Yandri Gomez, Josh Smith, and Josh Breaux. Those would be like the three guys.
Yeah, none of your top guys, but still solid, pretty good prospects. But
Sure. Awkward
that's
times.
Another reason why. I was just gonna say that's another reason why I like Story as a guy, because I mean, not that again. I said I'm not hugging prospects, and I wouldn't mind trading Peraza, but I feel like his down season kind of offensively, I mean, compared to his normal, his career averages, it is a down season for his standards. But I mean, he's the kind of guy, like with the prospect cost that you're giving up, you don't have to probably give up a guy like Peraza. And no. With the team, I think it wouldn't be the worst thing to add two bats. I mean, this is probably a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
I would like
both. Do you know what I'm going to say?
What are you going
to
say?
I think you know. Trevor Story and Joey Gallo to the Yankees. That would be ideal for me.
That's the dream right there. And you do have to say that Trevor Story, even with his injury, has put up almost 2 wins above replacement this year. So even though he's not playing like Trevor Story, he is actually playing decent baseball. So
yep.
I don't know. I'm checking his... No, from 2018 to 2020, Trevor Story had a 123 OPS plus and a 909 OPS. This is a guy who is legitimately a really good player, especially when you factor in defense. You know, he had 21 defensive runs saved in 2019, which is the last full season of baseball. He was a 6-win player in 2018 and a 7-win player in 2019. And he put up almost 3 wins above replacement in the 60-game season last year. This dude racks up WAR like crazy. And, you know, if you get him healthy and, I don't know, you know, get him into a ballpark that better suits what he does offensively, maybe you're looking at something truly special. So I think he's definitely worth the shot. And like you said about getting both Gallo and Story, I got to run the numbers on that. I doubt they would do it because
it would be very tight.
It doesn't.
I don't even know if it's possible.
It probably
is. How much
is
Story making this year? Like, isn't he making like $17 million or something?
Because he's on last season of arbitration. So what you want to do, Trevor Story's salary. Let me check. Trevor Story's salary. He's making $17.5 million now. So you cut that in half and then add like. We're about, 60-70% through the season, So a little more than half of that, I think you're looking at, 9 and 18, so, 7 million, right. Which would be a tough squeeze. Anyways, but, there is a but.
Let's hear it.
What if... No, I don't think Colorado would do this because they have cheap owners and they most likely are just looking to get rid of the salary. But you could say eat the $7 million for Trevor Story and we'll give you a better prospect haul. I think that could work.
From a baseball perspective for the Rockies, I would obviously do it because it's a half season thing, and if you're rebuilding, obviously get the best prospects. But as you said, because the Rockies owners are cheap, I feel like teams like them, they just tend to not do that and just, you know, want to get the money off the books.
Yeah, they want to get the money off the books more than they care about the prospects in return. Right. So like, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I think the Rangers are more likely to take on some salary to get better prospects than the Rockies are. So maybe let me check Joey Gallo's salary. His salary actually shouldn't be too much because he's got another year of arbitration. So Joey Gallo's salary. So we know his salary Wow. That was not accurate. Let me check. Spoelstra, $6 million for this year, $6.2 million. So that is like he's got to be owed only like around $2 million for the rest of this year. So that's his straight up hit, $6.2 million.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers would probably be willing to say, okay, we'll take $2 million, but give us Oswald Peraza or something like that, or maybe you can trade. Maybe you do trade Volpe and kind of make it work, but I don't think Cashman would do that. But like, I don't know. But it would be nice. It would be nice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm spitballing here. Feels like I have more ideas than they do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
I think what you said about the Rangers actually and willing to take money. I don't know if you saw the rumor about Padres potentially sending Eric Hosmer.
Yeah,
whose contract is not good and he has not been playing well at all. But also throwing in CJ Abrams, who's a top 10 prospect shortstop in all of baseball, for Joey Gallo. And I mean, once again, for a team that's rebuilding, I mean, that offer would be pretty enticing to me because you want the best available prospects. And
the idea is giving a better prospect if they were to take on money. So like, you know, I was just talking about with the story trade. So let's say the Rockies would want to, you know, trade, you know, would want, you know, to eat some salary for, you know, to get this deal moving. Instead of saying we'll trade, you know, our tier B guys like Josh Smith, Josh Brel, those guys, Yandres Gomez, maybe you say, I'll give you an Austin Wells or something like that, or something to make it worth their while. And then now that you aren't on the books for the rest of Trevor Story's, you know, $7-8 million that he's owed for the rest of the year, maybe $6 million, I'm not sure. You can go to Texas and say, okay, we'll give you Peraza, etc., to get the Gallo deal done. And so you're only adding $2 million to the luxury tax and you're acquiring Story and Gallo. So that's how you can make it work. But it will take one of those teams to eat some salary, preferably Colorado, because Story's salary is higher. So
yeah,
it would be nice.
I mean, it's just annoying that we even have to, you know, think about, because I don't want to give up the better prospects for them to take the money. Like, you know, just eat it for half the season and let's go. But unfortunately, with the 2021 budget Yankees, this is what we have to think about, how we're going to fit guys into our luxury tax champs. The exact number that we're at in terms of payroll, because I don't think there's one number.
That is not necessarily open to the public. People just make projections that are somewhat close.
So we could be closer or farther than people think, you know.
Correct.
This is another thing.
The only people that really have those numbers are like the league and like the Yankees, probably. It's kind of hard, and because you have to factor in like bonuses, deferrals, what you call them, incentives, stuff like that, that kind of stuff, amenities, yada yada yada, bonuses, shit like that. And it all counts to the luxury tax, and it's all a bunch of bullshit. But, you know, it sucks, but I don't know.
It's our situation.
It is. When you're in a situation like this, the best you can do is making it work, I guess. Is accepting the reality and not trying to see how you can make it work. I think us as Yankee fans, we have to operate under the assumption that we're staying under the tax, and we have to come up with ideas on how to stay under the tax and get our team better with only a few million dollars to spend, which is it's a difficult challenge, I'm going to be honest, but you know, are we up for it? I think we are. So, you know, Are there any other players that you're looking at that could be of interest to you?
Well, I know we both wanted this guy, Max Scherzer. Unfortunately, that's not going to be an option for us due to the fact that he has a no trade clause, and
we weren't taking that.
He would not waive that.
They most likely made the phone call. This is how the phone call went, Eddie. Hey, what's going on with Max? Probably wouldn't accept the trade of you, right? Right. All right, bye.
Yeah.
And then like that's it. Like they weren't taking on the money, and you know they weren't going to give him an extension, yep. especially like they have to sign Judge and all that stuff. And it's like I just can't see them spending another $25 million on a pitcher, especially with the Cole contract still in the books and all that stuff. So. And just for a variety of reasons, I think like the only pitchers that they can realistically look at are like the pitchers that are under arbitration and that stuff. You're looking at like the Jose Barrioses, but that guy's going to command true top prospects, and Cashman doesn't do that. So like we're in like this middle ground where we can't get the big guy who's under control, and we can't get the big guy. Who already has the big contract for a variety of reasons, because Scherzer's not going anywhere unless he is getting an extension. So he's not going to be a Yankee, and yeah, Barrios isn't either. You got to look at like the John Grays of the world, and I can't even see us doing that. I think we're going straight up for an outfield bat, and that's my prediction: Gallo or Kepler.
I was going to say in terms of the rotation. If we do get anyone, I feel like it'll just be like a small, you know, depth guy that probably won't command any prospects. And I'm not even guaranteeing that that could happen, but I don't think you're going to see one at the top of the market. I mean, we know Scherzer's out, but I don't even think you're going to see like a John Gray. I think it's just going to be someone, you know, very minor, if it even happens. But
yeah, if we even get a starting pitcher, which is not guaranteed at all, and I would think it's unlikely, to be honest. I don't actually think we're gonna get a starter. I think it's gonna be most two moves, unless we're making more salary dumps to make other things work. So I can't see it. I think we're gonna get an outfield bat, and you know, I just don't see us having a crazy deadline. I think we'll get what the absolute need is, but other than that, you know, the Yankees aren't going to go for luxuries. They're only going to go for needs, because they don't feel like the pressure to go above and beyond for their fan base. They're not going to do it. So and I think, as much as I like to yell on Twitter about going over the tax and saying fuck it, they're not going to do that. So
We've had our complaining time, you know, at this point you have to accept it. It's so annoying, but it drives me crazy just to keep talking about it. Like, this is what it is. We're not going over the luxury tax. House cheap, deal with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's a true situation of it is what it is, and we have to deal with it. That's what's going to... It's going to be, I guess. That's really all you can say. So hopefully, you know, the player that we get is good. And, like, hopefully it's Joey Gallo. That's the preference. And Max Kepler is not a bad player at all either. But, you know, we'll just wait and see. And it's really all I have to say on that. I can't see us getting a big reliever like a Kimbrel either.
Yeah, no.
I think like if we're gonna acquire a reliever, it'd be for someone who's like pre-arbitration, you know. Yeah. And I think we kind of just did that with Clay Holmes, but you know,
feel like we get a reliever and like a you know, we trade for Gallo, and then the Rangers also
throw the reliever, like,
someone in their bullpen.
That'd be pretty cool.
Maybe with the Rock. Well, I could have said the Rockies, but I don't know how much Mike Algivens was making, but I know he just got traded to the Reds today, so we rule that out. But
yeah, you just if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm just looking for an outfielder or a Trevor Story. Like, those are the that's the options. Those are like the realistic options, in my opinion. I just can't see us getting a pitcher of any kind. No starter, no reliever, not a catcher, not a first baseman. We're gonna get what we need and get the hell out of there, basically.
Yeah. I did make a prediction a couple days ago that Trevor Story would be a Yankee. I've soured a bit on that prediction, and I'm very close to taking it back. It just felt like there was a lot of smoke there a couple days ago, but at this point, I'm just like, I think if there's going to be a guy, I'm going to say Gallo now, if it's one guy.
I hope so. Gallo, you know, would shut up the people about the left-handed thing, and it would just be, it's just a better fit all around. You know, for a variety of reasons, you wouldn't have to put Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield full time. And, like, I just don't think he can handle that without getting hurt. So, I think Joey Gallo is the guy. And, like, Max Kepler is a good player, and he'd be a good backup. So, I'm interested overall to see, you know, what we do. It's going to be a fun, you know, less than 48 hours now. We don't have much time left. 4 o'clock on Friday, it's going to be over. And, my favorite part of the deadline is like when the deals trickle in a few minutes after the deadline. Yep. It's like, oh, this happened. So I'm excited to see. And, hopefully in a few days, we're back here talking about how we made a huge trade and we can make a run or something. So
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, hopefully we, when one, at least one of these next two against Tampa, get out of there with a series win. And we got a pretty light schedule, all things considered, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So win one of these next two, kick ass in the next few weeks, see where you are. And it's going to be a fun rest of the season. It's going to be a fun 2 months. I think, I think getting Sevy back as soon as possible. He's throwing his little sim game tomorrow, and then he's going to go out on a rehab. He's not too far off. I think reinforcements are coming all the way around, so I'm excited.
Yeah. And, in terms of the trade deadline, I also ask for it to be – obviously I want the Yankees to make a move, but I like when it's just exciting all around. You know, sometimes it's just slow trade deadlines. Yeah, it's definitely an exciting one. I feel like, sometimes it's just like a lot of smoke and then, nothing happens. Like, I'd like there to be a bunch of moves because it's just exciting to keep up with.
Yeah. Already some stuff has happened, like the Marte deal.
Yep.
So we're talking about by this time, 2 days from now, we're going to see Max Scherzer in a different uniform. We're going to see Trevor Story in a different uniform. We're going to see potentially Joey Gallo, Chris Bryan, and potentially Javi Baez or Anthony Rizzo as well.
Rizzo, maybe. Yeah.
And Craig Kimbrell as well. He's been like the best reliever in baseball this year. So
and it's weird with him too because like he was bad. Like he was like, okay.
His career was dead and now it's not anymore. So.
Right. I don't know what happened. He had two terrible years, but all of a sudden he's back to being, Dominic Craig Kimbrell.
He's Craig Kimbrell now, so you're getting Craig Kimbrell. By the way, Nationals have 12 COVID positives. Yikes.
Ooh, wow.
That's bad. Yeah, they postponed the game tonight.
That is a lot of people.
Yeah, so that's really – I really don't have anything else to say necessarily, mostly because I'm dumb. I'm just really excited about – the amount of turnover that's about to happen because it's very clear that this is going to be an active deadline. I definitely think like the players that are being rumored to get dealt are actually going to get dealt and it's not just like smoke. So that's very cool. So, and also by the way, Scherzer is expected to be traded like tonight. So look out.
You have a prediction where Scherzer goes?
I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to say the Giants get him.
That was going to be mine, too. And I don't know if it's more of me wanting him to go to the Giants or...
I definitely do not want him to be a Dodger. I definitely do not want him to be a Dodger.
That would be super annoying. You got to respect the Dodgers.
And, Scherzer fits the vibe because, you look at the Giants roster, they're all old.
Right.
Posey's old. That's what I said. Old. Crawford's old.
Right.
Belt's old.
Like, they're just they're a likable team because, I mean, it was so unexpected. Like, obviously, these guys, Buster Posey, a great catcher in his prime, and all of a sudden, he's putting up great numbers again, like, out of nowhere.
It's just like all these players turned back to fountain of youth.
Yeah, like, all at once, like, all older, you know, not in their prime guys, all of a sudden, just playing up great seasons.
Yeah, Posey's basically finishing off his Hall of Fame case.
Yeah.
So
that's what, and I don't dislike the Dodgers either, but, you know, they're just, like, the big villain at this point of baseball.
You just
don't want them
to have, like, all of the good players.
Right, yeah, it gets kind of annoying, yeah.
And it's like, but they got Betts, they got Bellinger, they got Muncy. Yeah. It's like, Jesus.
But I respect them because, unlike us, they're going, you know, really for the kill. I mean, getting another big money guy. And I'm sure at some point they'll probably do the same thing that we're doing and going, like, under the tax. But, I mean, they've had, like, a couple runs of just going, like, insane with payroll, especially after winning the World Series. Like, you think that would be a time, like, okay, we won our World Series, we'll cut payroll. But then they go and add Bauer, obviously not talking about his off-the-field issues, but I'm just talking about how the Dodgers front office going for it, you know.
Yeah, I respect it, and I just really hope he doesn't end up there. It would be preferred if he doesn't end up on San Diego as well. I'm just, that NL West is crazy. I'm excited to see how that plays out, and obviously, like, it's just a lot that's about to happen, man. I mean, it's one of those times. It's a special deadline. You're looking at, like, the Cubs selling off, like, their entire core from their 2016 World Series championship run, and I don't know, man. It's just gonna be fun to see. Look out for both New York teams, by the way, this year.
Yeah, the Mets have been a lot of rumors.
Yeah, so you never know, man. You never know. Yeah. Do you have anything else?
I'll leave you with this. All right. Make your prediction. Not with your, not what you want. What you think realistically will be added by the July 30th trade deadline.
I'm gonna be a little aggressive here. I do think we'll get Joey Gallo. I do think that. I will predict that, and I just think, like, he fits a lot of what the Yankees like. So, and that's a lot of strikeouts. Now, I'm kidding. Let's make some predictions here. We'll finish this off with some predictions. So I predict Gallo to the Yankees. Well, I almost went football there. Scherzer to the Giants. Story to the Mets. I'm gonna get aggressive there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bryant to the Giants. And I'm going to say Kimbrel to the Red Sox.
Okay. Oh, cool. Kimbrel back to the Red Sox. I like that.
Yeah. Or the Phillies.
Give me the names again so I can remember. I'll do it in the same order.
Gallo.
I'll say Yankees too. I would have said Story a couple days ago, but I've changed my prediction. Gallo's going to be a Yankee.
Scherzer.
I'm honestly going to say Giants. I just feel like they're really going to do an important piece for them to add.
And what did I say? Story.
Story. You know what? Let's go all in. Giants are going to shock the world. They want to go all in with this core with 1 year. Because, you know, it's probably not going to be repeated again with these older guys having these career years. They take two big guys off the market, Trevor Story and Max Scherzer. I'm getting bold.
All right. What about Chris Bryant?
Chris Bryant. I feel like the buzz has died down a little bit on this, but Chris Bryant will still end up in New York Met.
I like that one. And Craig Kimbrel.
Kimbrel, I've not even really thought about where he's going to go. All right. Let me think about this one for a second. Kimbrel. All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
They missed out on Max Scherzer.
Oh, shit.
So the Dodgers decide to go and add Craig Kimbrel.
Oh. That is gonna be a scary bullpen, but yeah, I definitely can see that. I think they've been rumored for Kimbrel as well, so that makes a lot of sense.
Especially if they missed out on a Scherzer guy. I mean, who else is guaranteed really to?
I think
not guaranteed, but likely.
By the way, I think Rizzo is gonna be a Red Sox.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
Which is ironic because. Yeah, he could stay.
He was drafted by them, right?
Yeah, he was drafted by the
Padres. No, he was drafted by the Red Sox.
Drafted by the Sox, traded to the Padres, and traded to the Cubs. And then, you know, Baez is an interesting wild card. I'm gonna say Baez to the Atlanta Braves. He'll play third base. They'll put him at third. Dansby at short. Ozzie Albies at second, Freeman at first.
I mean, I already gave Trevor Stewart to the Giants, so I don't even know, to be honest, about Baez. But I mean, I would also
I want to be aggressive.
My second choice to the Mets, but I gave the Mets Brian already in this scenario. So honestly, I'm not sure. But what said about Rizzo, by the way, he feels like the guy that, like, you know, even though a team's rebuilding, like, he's that one guy that just stays there. Because he's, like, the face of the franchise, at least in my view. Like, when I think of the Cubs of, like, you know, this era, the 2016 era, he was there even before putting up good seasons. I think of Anthony Rizzo as that guy, you know.
I think that's entirely possible, to be honest. So... Mm-hmm. I definitely see Rizzo as that guy. I agree there. So I really, really just excited to see what's happening here, man. It's going to be fun. It's just a little disappointing that this is the year the Yankees can't go all in, but won't go all in, I should say. They can, but they won't.
Yeah, they can.
But they won't. So I'm just excited to see it. It's just going to be fun. So I guess we'll talk in a few days, see what we do, see what we do against the Rays in this series. We got, if we win one of these next two, we win a series against the Rays at the Trop. So I'm just excited, man.
Yeah. Our next show, we will either be happy, sad, maybe just feeling okay, but yeah. Well, it could depend on the results on the field and what we do with the deadline, but...
Can you imagine if we lose the next two and we don't get anyone?
Yeah, that would just be...
That's the nightmare scenario.
I mean, for me, I wouldn't be totally devastated because I don't... Again, I said that I wouldn't dive into it on this episode, but, you know, I'm not the biggest believer in the 2021 Yankees, so if they stayed put, I wouldn't be like... Not like in 2019, I was like fuming because that just made no sense. Why you don't add a guy when, you know, it definitely would help to add a guy. I mean, I wouldn't be, even though the numbers are there, like they're 2.5 games back of the wild card spot. Like that is totally reachable. I'm just frustrated that, you know, before the season, like this was the Yankees division, you know, nobody thought Boston or the Rays would win. I mean, the Rays were good and obviously World Series team, but I think people just assumed, you know, the Rays lose guys, the Red Sox are still not there yet, the Yankees are going to win this division and then come into the season and we're 8.5 games back right now. Like, it's just super frustrating, but I can't harp on that and still complain about it. We are where we are. We're in position to potentially get second wild card, so we'll just have to see what happens the rest of the way, man.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a fun 2 months. Hopefully we do, hopefully we make it interesting in the division. But, you know, I think the wild card is obviously the more realistic expectation. Garrett Cole in a wild card game doesn't sound too bad, to be honest. So,
no, I would definitely take my chances with that.
And then, you know, you win that wild card game and then you're in the dance. You got a chance. So really excited to see it. So. You know, talk in a few days and see where we're at. And hopefully we go on a nice little run.
Yep.
All right, everybody. This has been the Yankees Center Podcast. I'm Eddie Sapienza. That's Tom Smith. And we will see you on our next episode. Peace.
Peace.